This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
It may seem a bit ironic to celebrate this ordination in the Episcopal Church on the feast day of Thomas Merton, one who left his marginal Anglican life to become one of the most committed Roman Catholic monks in history. For tonight, we pray as Jeremy, a former Southern Baptist, is ordained an Episcopal deacon, and Mary, a former Roman Catholic, is ordained an Episcopal priest, and to add to that, we celebrate the last official pastoral visit of Bishop Leo Friday, a former Methodist. But those words of Merton's prayer transcends denomination. It helps us to reach out to God in that overarching realization that God can do nothing but bless us. And our ultimate prayer is just that we might seek to be a blessing and bless others in all that we do and share. So how does one begin a sermon as we celebrate a member of the Order of St. Francis, a dispersed order of Anglican Franciscans, a former Roman Catholic nun, a sister of St. Joseph, and a Cuban bishop as we celebrate him on the eve of his retirement month? Perhaps the classic beginning would be most appropriate. A Franciscan, an ex-nun, and a bishop walk into a bar. Now, the classic punchline would be, and the bartender says, "Is this some kind of a joke?" However, perhaps this would be more appropriate. An ex-nun, a Franciscan, and a bishop walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "I'm not just a bartender, I'm a genie." And he says, "I will grant you each one wish. Anything you want, ask for it, and it's yours." So the ex-nun steps up to the bar and says, "I want to live in a church world where ladies are treated equally with men, where leadership is open to all sexes, all ages, and all backgrounds." And the bartender says, "Poof, you're an Episcopalian." Next, the Franciscan steps up to the bar and says, "I want to live in a church world of St. Francis, where all of God's creatures are respected, where being good stewards of God's earth is a priority, and where the gospel is proclaimed to and the needs are met of the poor, the sick, and the needy." And the bartender says, "Poof, you too are an Episcopalian." Well, then the bishop steps up to the bar, and he says to the genie bartender, "You mean to tell me that women are now equal in the church, the gospel is being proclaimed to all people, and the sick and the downtrodden are being taken care of?" And the genie bartender replies, "Yes, you are correct." So the bishop says, "Okay, in that case, I'll have a beer." In the preface to the ordination rite that Father David Wilt read for us tonight, it spells out the three ordained orders which we celebrate tonight. Whether incorrect or not, we often look at them in a hierarchical fashion. Now, sometimes if you're a deacon, you might want to reverse it. But perhaps it would be more appropriate for look at it from Jesus' perspective on servant ministry. When Jesus chooses to ordain his followers to continue his ministry, he chooses to show them what this ministry is all about. We all know on Maundy Thursday, he takes off his outer robe, girds himself with a towel, gets down on his knees and washes their feet. As I have done, so you must do. It is this which is the basis of all of our ordained ministry, whether deacon or priest or bishop. Servanthood. Once a deacon, always a deacon. Our call to servanthood doesn't go away when we are ordained a priest or become a bishop. It is just transformed. Perhaps it would be more appropriate to think of it in this fashion. That our diaconal servanthood ministry imbues all ordained ministry. Or perhaps it would even be more appropriate to think of it in a cyclical fashion like this. Now, I like this cyclical view because it shows a bishop's ministry very close to a deacon's ministry. Talk about servant ministry. Think of all the bosses Bishop Friday has. He reports to the deans. He reports to the executive board. He reports to the standing committee. He reports to the House of Bishops. He reports to the presiding bishops. And he reports to Diana. And with all those bosses, the IRS still considers him self-employed. The first official pastoral visit to St. Joseph's for Bishop Friday was in 2001. And shortly thereafter, we had a link with Holy Trinity, our other host parish tonight. There was the opportunity for us to gather at Holy Trinity with other parishes of the diocese as Bishop Friday told to us his story of evangelism. That was a moving moment for all of us. I believe we have a slide of that. And somebody said, "Who's the young guy in the photo?" And somebody responded, "Oh, that's Hap Lewis." And somebody else said, "No, that's Bishop Friday." And they're both right. The first official visit when Bishop Friday was here was when I was installed as rector of this church 14 and a half years ago. There was a special hymn that was sung at the installation of Bishop Friday as Bishop of the Diocese. And as a surprise, and with the help of Norman Conaway and Father Bill Hamilton and the choir of St. Andrew's in Lake Worth, we sang a special song by the name of Chain of Love here at St. Joseph's. If we can get the video to play, I'd like to play a snippet of that song. There's a chain of love starts at the heart of God. It reaches to the cross in those arched, outstretched arms of love, reaches out to you, reaches out to me. It calls us to be partners in a community of peace. Bishop, you have been that to me and to this parish and to this diocese. Just in this season, as John the Baptist points the way and tells us to prepare a highway for our God, you have made it clear and made it possible to be like I-95. Extra express lanes constantly being added so that our path can be smoother. It was this parish that you enabled back in 2001 to expand the concept of lay anointing ministers, to experiment with innovative liturgical styles to reach the unreached, and through you and Diana, to emphasize the importance of international mission outreach that has been a driving force for the health of this parish and many others in our diocese. There have been many moving moments you have shared with us, with your sermons of the out-of-the-box Jesus, Jesus as our mother hen, and the powerful personal testimony of your family's pain and suffering as a result of the dictatorship in Cuba that you experienced. And it was personally moving to us all, the passion with which you have approached the celebration of the sacraments in these last years, so much that you shared through your tears, the reality of the words is almost too much for me. We pray tonight that that reality will continue to move you and to move Jeremy and Mary to be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. And there's Jeremy, a second career person, served as a paramedic and a firefighter, a very gentle person, who has both served on the vestry of Holy Trinity and spent time at Holy Sacrament learning what real parish life is like, and he still wants to get ordained. It is a gift many that you will bring, Jeremy, and the church, and we thank you for your willingness to serve. And Mary. There is one distinguishing characteristic that is mentioned in our catechism about the duties of a priest, and that is to pronounce the blessing. I believe that those other things are very, very crucial, but the ability that you will be given through sacramental ministry to be with people at all times and all places, to pronounce that they are blessed, is one of the greatest gifts that God will give to you in the priesthood. Maybe the transition from deacon in bridge ministry is to experience God's presence and blessing in people and areas that might not be aware of it, so that as a priest you are prepared to pronounce it more widely and readily. In the first reading that we heard tonight, in the year King Uzziah died, we never know when God is going to call us. In the Advent and Christmas story, God chooses people of all types, all ages. Now, I don't think it's possible to compare you to Zechariah because Zechariah couldn't talk. It's hard to imagine that about Mary. But whether it is a call of a young Mary to bring God's Son to life on earth at the age of 14, or to call a young at heart Mary at the age of 70 to bring God's Son to live in our hearts, it is the same God. Abraham was called to leave his country at the age of 75. When Isaac was born, Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. Moses was 80 when God spoke to him in the burning bush. Moses, too, herded sheep for 40 years before God called him. So, Bishop, why are you retiring at 72? You all have many gifts to offer. there is a tradition at an ordination for the preacher to give a charge to the ordinand. So at this stage, I would like Jeremy, if you would please stand. Jeremy, the word that we usually translate as deacon means thoroughly raise up dust by moving in a hurry and so to minister. May you raise up much dust as you hurry to bring the gospel to the world. May you raise up dust as you hurry to bring the concerns and the needs of the world back to the church. And may you raise up much dust as you continue to follow in the footsteps of our Rabbi Jesus. Amen. Mary. A friend of mine from this diocese shared this with me that I paraphrase and share with you. We are calling you to something smaller. We're not ordaining you to ministry that happened at your baptism. We're not ordaining you to be a caring person. You are already called to that. We're not ordaining you to serve the church, at committees, activities, organizations. That's already implied in your membership. We're not ordaining you to become involved in social issues, ecology, race, politics, revolution, for that is laid upon every Christian. We're ordaining you to something smaller and less spectacular, yet greater and more wonderful. To read and interpret those sacred stories of our community so that they speak a word to people today. To remember and practice those rituals and rites of meaning that in their poetry address human beings at the level where change operates. To foster in community through word and sacrament that encounter with truth which will set men and women free to minister as the body of Christ. We are ordaining you to the ministry of word and sacraments and pastoral care. God grant you grace not to betray but to uphold it. Not to deny but affirm it. Through blessing others, may you continue to give away more and more of yourself so that in the end, as Mother Teresa would say, they will look up and no longer see me, but only Jesus. Amen. Bishop Friday, remain seated, sir. Perhaps the most appropriate ending would be this. A Franciscan, a nun, and a bishop walked into a church. And at the end of the service, three deacons walked out. You have showed us how to serve by serving. You have been a servant's servant, a true deacon as well as a true shepherd. That Chain of Love video clip ended with you saying back in 2001 that we've learned the words and music, you still need to learn how to sway. Well, in these 15 years, that is what you and Diana have done for us at St. Joseph's and for our diocese. You have drawn the circle wide. There's an old poem about footprints in the sand where the poet sadly reflects on the two sets of footprints becoming one set in times of difficulty and the surprise punchline from God being, the one set of footprints is when I carried you. But perhaps the sequel to that poem is more important tonight, where in another version, the poet reflects on the two sets of footprints becoming one set, but then later down the beach, the two sets of footprints reappear, but in a mixed pattern of frontwards and backwards. And God responds to the sad and confused poet who asks, why were there two sets of footprints in such a cyclical pattern? And God responds, ah, that is when we danced. We need to learn how to sway, you said 15 years ago. Well, You have empowered us to sway and to dance on and off the dance floor. You have enabled us to dance outside the box, and we are healthier because of it. It is tradition that each of the ordinands stand as the charge is given to them by the preacher. But as we and St. Joseph's and Holy Trinity and St. Mary's and St. Andrew's and everybody else who here now commission you, we invite you not to stand, but to have a seat. Let us stand as we salute you. You have served us as a servant of servants. Take a seat. You and Diana deserve it.